Today, we're going to look at pursuing a potential spouse and how we are actually supposed to continue our pursuit as married folks, okay? Because the pursuit does not end once we actually get married. Actually, that's where we're supposed to actually go to another level, right? Whatever it took to get that pretty young thing, we gotta keep it going to keep the romance flowing, all right? So we're going to talk about, hey, in every single season and the purpose within those seasons. So when I talk about pursuit, here's the deal. Society, it likes to throw some negative things out there and derail us on the topic of pursuit, okay? It likes to dictate to us what that pursuit actually looks like. So society says that, hey, the pursuit actually looks like, you know, the pursuit for physical touch and physical intimacy. I can even go back to, like, my times and as a youngster, the games that we used to play as kids. That was a little interesting, okay? Anybody remember Catch a Girl, Kiss a Girl? Right on, bro. It was one person that was willing to reach up their hand with me. I appreciate that. You know, so it was Catch a Girl, Kiss a Girl, and it was much like the game, the concept of tag, you're it, but it was different. All right, so you had a home base, and the guys were it, and the girls went out, and they said, ready, set, go, and the whole object of the game was going catch a girl before they got back to the base, and if you caught them, you got a kiss. Yep, so with that, it sounds very inappropriate right now with me explaining it to you. Thank you for looking at me funny. But at the time, it seemed like a really cool idea and a good game. But as we look at it for what it is, it was a perverted way of the devil just entering that into our minds, even as youngsters, right? So I could think about middle school, and Pastor Sam, he brought it up last week about, hey, the guys, you know, the big thing is when you went out, whether it's to the mall or to the show or, you know, to whatever the hangout spot was, you always had a pen right there in your pocket. And what is that pen for? To get numbers. Don't know exactly what all you're going to do with the numbers later on. And most of the time, it was the wrong number. But at the end of the night, the whole competition between the guys is who can get the most numbers. Sometimes I used to make up some numbers just to add to the stash. I got 5. You got 6. I got 7. I meant 7. Yeah. But with that, it was that pursuit. It was the competition. That's how society and the world likes to dictate the pursuit. As far as the pursuit for physical intimacy. But anybody know that God says something a little different? All right. The physical thing is one thing, but many times we glance over the fundamental, foundational things that really builds relationships, marriages, and a whole get out. And that's the spiritual and emotional side of the pursuit. Somebody say the pursuit. So today we're going to talk about the different seasons that we're in within our relationships and the pursuit in order to have the emotional and the spiritual connection that God wants you. And that is what is going to thrive within your relationships. Amen? All right, let's go to Songs of Solomon. Songs of Solomon, the 2nd chapter and the 11th verse. Songs of Solomon, 2nd chapter, 11th verse. In this first verse, it talks about the first season that we're going to discuss. It's the season of preparation. Ecclesiastes 3:1, it says, it's a season for everything. Everything we do, and it's a set purpose for that season. The first season that we're going to highlight here in the Songs of Solomon is the season of preparation. Say it after me. The season of preparation. One more time, the season of preparation. See, the winter is past. The rains are over and gone. Flowers appear on the earth. The season of singing has come. The cooing of doves is heard in our land. Now, in this particular passage, the winter season that the writer is suggesting is a time of preparation. In order to position and ready ourselves and ready yourself for what is to come, you must take a self-evaluation and identify what areas within your morality, your character, and your habits need to be adjusted for you to be ready for your next season. All right, we could spread this across. Now, this is just not marriage. This is just not, you know, in our singleness, but this is within our careers. This is within our academics. This is within, you know, the things that God has for us in ministry. All the different pursuits that we have in life, we have to recognize that there are seasons, and sometimes it's the season to prepare ourselves. We have to be prepared. I like what Ben Franklin said. He mentioned that, you know, if we fail to prepare, we prepare to fail. I'll say that one more time. Ben Franklin, old dude, yeah, he's cool. He threw out there, hey, if we fail to prepare, all we're doing is preparing to fail. If we don't put that strategic approach and take that self-evaluation on what do I need to fix right now in order to get ready for that next level, once I get to that next level, all it is a longer distance for me to fall flat on my face. So I need to prepare myself to make sure I put the right things in place. Therefore, I will not fail and have a higher success rate. Amen? All right, cool. So with that, so what does that mean for me? What does that mean for me in my pursuit in this preparation stage for me getting ready for a relationship? It's three things that I want to highlight to you today. Can I highlight three things? The three things. Number one is emotional. It's emotional. Is this some things that I'm still hurting from? Is this some things that I'm still trying to deal with? Maybe I'm still trying to deal with some trust issues. I got issues because my dad wasn't around. I don't know what that looks like, and I feel as though that I can't trust people. Maybe I've been in relationships in the past that absolutely broke my heart, and I can't trust people. I do not have the availability or space to lend my emotions, to open myself up for that much more. I think sometimes we get twisted and say, you know what, if I just find a good man, or if I just find a good woman, or if I just find the right one, then they can help me out in their emotional state. But how can you look for something that's going to be complete when you're still broken? How are you trying to look for something that's mended and perfect? It talked about in the scripture where the doves are cooing in the springtime and the flowers are blooming. So we got this nice little promised land that we're looking for, but here we are in our broken state pursuing that thing instead of dealing with the mess that's in front of us. In this stage of preparation, we got to deal with these emotional issues that we have so God can place it together. This is my encouragement to you, is that one thing that God has placed in you, that good work that he has for you, that he's been going, that you've been going through, he will see it to its completion. Our God is faithful and just, that he will work things out, and he's going to mold you, and he's going to mend that heart, and he's going to fill up the places that you're empty, and he's going to get you ready emotionally to take on that relationship. Can I get real practical this morning? The second area is that it's just practical stuff that we need to learn. Just very practical. How about just cleaning up the bathroom? You know what I'm saying? Just learn how to clean the toilet sometimes. I know us guys, we have a little issues sometimes with our aim. How about we just learn how to clean up? Take a little toilet paper and clean it up, all right? I'm trying to save you some arguments, okay? All right, I'll be a witness, all right? So it's some practical things that we need to figure out in our lives. How about we just show up to places on time? We just show up to work on time. If you're supposed to be there at 8:30, how about you not try to slip on at 8:32? They'll never see me. Oh, yeah, I have my door closed. You know, you coming up with your lines already. What you going to tell people if they confront you about it, right? How about we just show up to places on time and show that we are being good stewards of what God has given us, and we're being good stewards of time and responsibilities. Now, here's the thing is that sometimes we like to get deep and wonderful and say, you know what? No. That defines who me are. That you're just trying to change me. You know, they just going to have to accept me for who I am. Let me tell you this morning that you wiping up your stuff in the bathroom is not a foundational principle that's going against who you are. You need to just stop being lazy. Can we be real this morning? Just take a couple of more seconds. You need to just stop being lazy and do what you need to do. It's the right thing to do. You're just not doing it. Me telling you, a person asking you to be at a certain place at a certain time is not somebody trying to control you and take away your independency. Can we be honest this morning? It is not somebody trying to tell you what you're supposed to do. No, you just need to step up and be responsible. How can I expect to get that job promotion where I'm managing people where I can't even manage myself? How can I expect to go to that next season that I'm thriving for, that springtime that I'm looking for, if I'm not taking care of my responsibilities right now in the winter season? This is our season of preparation. It's not to make you wait. It's not a waiting game. He's trying to make sure that you're successful once you get there. He don't want you to make yourself look crazy. So we have to take advantage of this season of preparation. Amen? We got to put in the work now in order to see the fruits of our labor later on. Proverbs 20:4 says, those too lazy to plow in the right season will have no food at harvest. Can I talk to somebody today? Those that are too lazy to plow in the right season will have no food for harvest. You're expecting this great harvest later on. You're expecting this great harvest with this great marriage and this great career and these great kids and all these great different things. You're expecting this harvest, but you're not willing to plant the seeds. You're not willing to plow the field. You're not willing to put in the sweat, the blood, and the tears right now to prepare for the harvest. We got to step up our game if we're expecting to see something great later on. Somebody say, this is my time for preparation. God is preparing us. He's getting us ready. He's trying to put us in position. He's trying to get our minds together for the great things that are to come in the future. The third thing that I want to highlight today is spiritually. I believe God has placed you in this season of preparation to develop you spiritually. I'm going to go back to my time in college. So it was my fourth year in college. Notice I didn't say senior year. It was my fourth year. Yeah. I was one of those. It took me a couple of years to get through, but I got through. Hallelujah. I never would have made it. It just came into my spirit. But it was my fourth year in college, and I remember having this epiphany, this conversation with God, saying, you know what? I'm so tired of dating. I'm so tired of the rigmarole of meeting a new person and investing all this emotion, all this time, all this energy, and it's just a dud. And nothing actually comes from it whatsoever. I was just, anybody feel like this sometimes? Maybe it's just me. Okay. All right. So I was at that point where I just got tired of dating. So my conversation went along the lines of, Lord, you know what? The next person that you bring in my life, I want that to be my wife. The next person that you bring in my life as a significant other, can that be my wife? And he was good with that. And what he said, and it's like, okay, so what I'm supposed to do right now? It's like, well, I want you to seek me out. I want you to pursue me. I want you to get serious about who I am and where I am and where I rank in your life, okay? Because up until that time, I was a preacher's kid. I was a pastor's kid. I've been in church my entire life. So, you know, my initial thought was like, you know what, look, we good. I go to church every week. I hit up, you know, this and that. I clean up at church. I'm in ministry, X, Y, Z. It's like, you know what, but do you truly have my heart? Have you truly seeked me out? I believe the verse is real. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness, and all those things will be added unto you. But what you got to do is get your priorities together and start seeking the Father first. That's the only way that we're going to understand purpose. That's the only way that we're going to understand our design and what God truly has for us. And that's foundational before you start adding all these other things to the equation. So what happened? I started seeking them out. You know, I actually start, you know, having some quiet time with them. You know, I started hitting up Bible study and being serious about not just going through the motion. You know what I'm saying? Because we can wake up and just go through the motion because that's what we know we're supposed to do. All right. It's been trained and conditioned in my life that I'm supposed to go to this place at that time and not do this and not do that. So I had the conditions all in order. I was doing all the right things, but my heart wasn't there. So I started seeking him out more. And you know, some crazy things happened is that, you know, I actually started looking forward to things that I thought that were weird before, like going to prayer service. Yeah. That was foreign to me, yo. I mean, what I thought of with prayer service is a deacon. I love the Lord, he heard my cry. See? Y'all know what I'm talking about. Why want to go to prayer service? I show up at prayer service and I look like I'm deep in thought. I'm actually taking a nap. But I found myself actually wanting to go to prayer service and not sleeping, but actually seeking God out, trying to find him, trying to know my purpose and know that the plan that he has for me and understand my calling and understand everything that he has for me. So I start seeking him out spiritually. And 2 years later, 2 years later, I found myself going into Easter morning service and sitting right next to this light-skinned, pretty young thing that little ball fade going on, and confidence out the wazoo. And then I'm trying to pay attention to, of course, I'm trying to pay attention to the pastor, you know what I'm saying? And she knocking me on the leg and saying, what's going on? This is not godly. I said, Jesus, I'm trying to be distracted. Bring me near to the cross, Lord, and take her with me. You know what I'm saying? So after that, and the rest was history, you know. But what happened is that I found myself in a situation where I wasn't pursuing relationships. I wasn't pursuing people. I was pursuing God. And as I pursued God, my heart started to line up with his heart. And my path started to line up with his ways. And you know, his thoughts are higher than our thoughts, but it became a thought alignment. So I start thinking like God, and I start walking like God. And on that path, he led me beside that pretty young thing. But that was the condition of finding something that was pure, something great, something wonderful, that great harvest that I was talking about, because I was in that place where I was just working it out. I was in student ministry art. I was doing campus ministry. I was seeking God. I was like, what else? What else? What else? And then God just brought that my way. So what is it that we need to take a self-evaluation of right now? Let's pretend like there's a mirror right in front of us. And what is it that God needs to do in our heart to prepare us for that next season? What is it emotionally? What is it practically? What is it spiritually? What is he trying to expand your horizons, to make your cup that much bigger? So when you get to that next season, he could just keep pouring and pouring and pouring and pouring and pouring and pouring. But this is the time where we work to get it expanded so he can pour. He's trying to build something great, but we're not giving him the space nor the bricks to build it. All right? I didn't mean for that to be hard-hitting like that, but it hit me, you know? This is our time for preparation for the things that are to come. So it's a season. Somebody say season. A preparation. Embrace this season. You cannot have a spring without the winter. You have to embrace the season that you're in. The next season that I want to talk to you about is the season of infatuation. Hey, so let's look at Songs of Solomon, 2nd chapter, 8th verse. It says, listen, my beloved, look, here he comes. Here he comes, leaping across mountains, bounding over the hills. Your personal Superman. All right, my beloved, like a gazelle or a young stag, just look. There he stands behind our wall, gazing through the windows, peering through the peering through the window. My beloved spoke and he said to me, arise, my darling, my beautiful one. Come with me, baby. Can you picture it? So here it is. You got the relationships and love will have us do some crazy things, right? So I imagine, I'm picturing this 6'4", big muscular dude, probably got like a beard down the wazoo, got tats up. He big and strong. He got this deep voice, and he peering through the latest. The window. He's peering through the window like, you know what I'm saying? No, in any other situation, you would think there's something wrong with him. Like, he is definitely a pervert, you know? But in the lenses of infatuation and the lenses of love, you like, you just want to wave back, hey! Because love just have us in that place where, you know, this is just cloud nine. Maybe, I know that you guys could probably think about the season of infatuation where you first meet a person and you just want to be around them all the time. You texting them back and forth 56 times a day, just saying, hey, just one-liners, you know what I'm saying? One words, hey, love you, because sometimes I get there. You just throwing words back and forth. I can remember even in high school, we didn't have a cell phone. Well, I couldn't afford a cell phone, you know what I'm saying? So I would get the actual digits, the ones that I didn't make up, I would call them, and we'll have these conversations at 9, 10 o'clock at night, and it may go 3, 4, 5 hours, and we fall asleep on the phone. And you know that they sleep because they actually start snoring. You say, hey, you up? Yeah, I'm up. How you doing? Then somebody comes up with this great idea. How about we just sleep on the phone? Y'all done it, huh? Don't put me out there by myself, y'all. Let's just sleep on the phone, girl. And then me, I didn't have a deep voice at the time, so I'm trying to deepen my voice. Yeah. It's like, I didn't know your voice was... Yeah, it's always like this, you know. Infatuation. It's the season of infatuation. I mean, it's a great season to be in, but here's the deal. I just want to warn you of that season, okay? Can I warn you of the season? Because sometimes if we just build it on the superficial emotional stuff, it will not go any deeper than that. It will not go any deeper than that. I came across this quick little quote. It was a little image that I saw as I was just doing some browsing. And the picture, it said, it was a difference between infatuation and love. It says, infatuation, when you find someone who's absolutely perfect. Love, when you realize that they aren't perfect and it doesn't matter. Yeah, that's a nice little comparison. Infatuation is, man, I'm on cloud nine. I love everything about this person. It's absolutely nothing that they can do wrong in my sight. I love them. But love is when you get past that and you see their baggage and you see their mess and you see all the flaws that they have. Maybe the first couple of times they threw in like a Tic Tac and some spearmint gum and their breath wasn't funky. But that third or fourth time, they forgot to pop that in our mouth? And it's foul. That's not God. That ain't the one. But it's when you can embrace that and get past all of those flaws and all of the secrets and all of the issues. And you know what? I love you anyway. And all that stuff doesn't matter. If we get caught up in infatuation season too much, we can't get to that deep-rooted, unconditional, agape, never failing, never falling down type of hope of love if we just rest on that infatuation. The emotional state, and so the two pieces of advice that I have for you is that if you're not married and you're in that infatuation stage, there's two things that we need to limit with this particular individual, and that's your talk and your touch. Can I say it again? Your talk and your touch. So, you know, the talk is along the lines of, you know, you shouldn't be planning, setting up marriage plans in your second conversation with this person. You know what I'm saying? You don't even know my middle name. Matter of fact, I don't even have a middle name, and you don't know that, all right? You don't know my favorite color. You don't know that I don't like Italian food. You didn't know that I was lactose intolerant. You know, you don't know any of this, and you just brought me some ice cream. Our second day was to the ice cream parlor. You didn't know this. But you want to bring up marriage? We're not ready for this. So sometimes we get caught up again in the state of infatuation, and we got to slow it down and make sure that we're having those foundational conversations to build something. And maybe we'll get to that point. Maybe we'll get to that point later on. But right now, let's slow our talk down. Let's also slow our touch down. Because you looking real fine. Hey, baby, how you doing? And I'll get caught up if I get too familiar with you, all right? So we got to watch the places that we'll go. We got to watch the compromising situations that we'll put ourselves in. I know that you have a strong will. I know that you are walking with Jesus every single day. Jesus is like your first cousin on steroids. That's your best friend. I totally get it. But if sometimes we could find ourselves in compromising positions and we put our guard down, and if we have the touch in place, it will take us to places that we don't necessarily want to go. The emotional state of a relationship ceases once sex comes into play. The emotional connection is only as mature as the time that up to sex. Because sometimes what sex does that's introduced into the relationship, then it starts to be centered around sex. Start to be centered around that friendly touch and that play, that nice little, you know, the foreplay that leads up to it and all of that. But then we get past and we push those conversations to the side that we need to have the emotional connections that we need to in order to establish a good foundation. So in this season of infatuation, we have to limit our talk and we have to limit our touch. In all of the seasons that we're in, whether it's a state of preparation, infatuation, in courtship, dating, in marriage, no matter what season it's in, we need to pursue intimacy. I'll say it one more time. We need to pursue intimacy. Say it with me. Pursue intimacy. So Songs of Solomon, 2nd chapter, 14th verse, it says, "My dove, in the clefts of the rock, in the hiding places of the mountainside, show me your face. Let me hear your voice, for your voice is sweet and your face is lovely." This is all intimacy that they're referencing to right now. And notice that they're not talking about any physical touch. Notice that they're not talking about, you know, the candlelight dinner or the candies and the chocolates and all these romantic things. But they're talking about intimacy. They're saying, "Hey, show me your face. Let me hear your voice. And you hear my voice. Let me hear the content of your voice. Let me hear your heart that's coming out from your voice. Let me hear your feelings and your emotions and all the issues and all the stuff that you got bundled up inside of you. Let me hear all of that so we can grow closer together." So intimacy in the context, within the context of pursuing God and pursuing that future spouse, is becoming more transparent. Where's no secrets. Where's no issues. I'm not holding back anything. Even in the Webster Dictionary, it says intimacy is closeness, it's togetherness, it's rapport, it's friendliness, it's friendship, it's warmth, it's confidence. It's all these different attributes where it's saying that, hey, we need to get closer on the spiritual, emotional, social level. We need to get close like that and not necessarily through the touch. So what does that mean? We need to talk. We need to talk. We need to communicate this out. And sometimes it's free-flowing in our communication that when we first learn of a person, when we first meet a person, you can't wait to talk to them, and you're talking about all these different things, and how was your day, and how was your childhood, and who is your daddy, and who is your mama, and what about this, and what about that, and I see that they hurt you, and you have all these great conversations. But sometimes when we get to marriage, we think that we know the other person so much where we can just stop talking. We believe that you feel me, I feel you, just because I'm sleeping in the same bed as you sometimes, because I know all these different things about you. I know of you, but I don't think that you feel as though you're known. We have to get past the information and get to the very root. It's a book that I read, The Anatomy of a Soul, Dr. Kurt Thompson. He's a preacher as well as a psychologist and a physician. And he talks about, you know, the power of allowing a person to be known, to feel as though that they're known. You know, it's one thing for me to say that, hey, you know, I know your favorite color, but why is that your favorite color? What's the emotional strings that you have to that favorite color? If you find out the very root of that, you throw that favorite color on everything, and they loving it, right? I'll give you an example. My wife, she doesn't like loud talking. She doesn't like when I raise my voice, okay? So you could say, hey, yeah, that makes sense, Christian. I don't like when people yell at me either, all right? But why? Why don't she like me raising my voice? Well, if I dive deeper into it and I ask her that question, she'll tell me about her childhood and how when every time somebody raised their voice, she felt intimidated, she felt very fearful. She felt as though their violence was about to erupt around her, and so she didn't feel safe. She felt as though something tumultuous was about to happen, and she felt so uneasy. Okay, now I understand the why. It's not just about knowing a person and making sure that they feel known. Is about how they tick and why they tick. What makes them tick and why does that make them tick? Because in that place, when you get to the very root of it, you can get to see emotional healing. God can use you as your spouse to minister to your significant other, the person that you vowed that you want to protect, the person that you said that you wanted to keep sacred and you love. This is the apple of your eye. If you just dive a little deeper and figure out what's the reason why you feel like this, now I can apply it to other areas in our lives, in our relationship, in our marriage. And I could bring wholeness to places that maybe we need wholeness together. So I was at this place last year. Last year, probably about January time frame. And I was so frustrated. I was so frustrated with my marriage, with family, everything. I was so frustrated. I feel as though that I wasn't being heard. I want to express it. I tried to express myself in so many different ways. I tried the loud approach. I tried the soft approach. I tried the passive approach. I tried the aggressive approach. I tried all these different approaches to get my voice heard. And I was at the point, it's like, God, what is up? This can't be of you. Been in this way too long, and I know that where I'm going, you don't want us to go down this path. So what is it? Get her together. Because we always want to say that, right? Get the other person together. Let them see what's going on. And then the conversation kind of like looked like this. It's like, okay, so what I need for you to do is just shut up. I think we forget sometimes why we have one of these and two of these. Sometimes we just need to shut up. Even in the times where I thought that I was right and I want to really push the point, it's like, yes, I got this one. I can win. I can win this battle. I got this because this one is mine. It's like, no, just shut up. That's the number one problem that we have in marriages today. They fail because of lack of communication. Because we can't create that safe place in order to convey how we feel and the other person vice versa. So as the male in the relationship, as the lead, I believe God has called us to lead our house, amen? I believe that God has called us to love our wives as Christ loved the church, amen? I'm pretty sure Christ didn't necessarily want to get on that cross. I'm pretty sure that all those lashes that he was getting, the blood, the scratches, the tears, all this stuff that he didn't deserve himself, he took it for a sinners just like us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were slapping him in his face with our sins and saying, I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to do what I want to do. While we were in the mix of doing that to Christ, what did he do? He died for us. I'm going to take up this cross and I'm going to die for you because no greater than love than this. And a man will lay down his life for a friend. So sometimes us in the relationships that we're in, sometimes we got to take up our cross. And sometimes that cross is just shedding up. And what happens when we actually shed up and start listening? We start listening to, okay, I hear the words that are coming out of her mouth, but now I start getting a sense of the emotions. Before, I was preparing for my argument, and I was ready to come back, and I wanted to hurry up and say something. But if I just shut up and if I just pay attention to her body language, now I start seeing certain triggers go off. Say, you know what? She's not being abrasive. Yeah, her voice is real loud, but no, she's actually trembling in her hands. So maybe it's something that I need to do differently in order for her to respond the way that I need for her to respond. But sometimes a person needs for us just to make them feel as though that they're valued. Make sure that they feel as though that they're being listened to. Make sure that they feel respected. You hear what I'm saying this morning? And that will be reciprocated. I'll tell you what, 12 months down the road, it has been over a year, and we are in the best place in our marriage that we have ever been. I'm so serious. This is not just me telling you because it sounds good, but this, oh my God, the best place in our relationship that we've ever been, in and outside the bedroom. I'm just saying, bro. I'm just saying. I'm sorry, sweetheart. I'm just being real with you, but it takes the work right now. It's the things that we have to do right now. It's the things that I had to look at myself in the mirror and say, you know what? You don't know it all. And you know what? Even though you feel as though you're right in this moment, you're losing this battle. So you're willing to win this argument for the sake of losing your marriage? Get yourself together. Communication. God wants to do something fresh and something new in your relationships, but you got to learn to communicate. I know it's not easy, but it starts right here. It's difficult, but it starts right here. And you have to take that self-evaluation and say, what is it that I need to check in myself before I'm expecting somebody else? Clean around your own front door. Before you try to sweep around somebody else's. While you clean around your own front door, you'll realize that your front door is so much messier than theirs. And especially as men, as we clean around our front door, that encourages our wife. Oh my God, she'll get giddy to clean around hers. She will follow your example. You set the tone. You set the pace. You set the cadence. But it starts right here, and you shutting up, and you listening, and allow her to be known. Amen. The last piece of advice that the Songs of Solomon speaks to us about is about protecting our purity. Protecting our purity in the case of singleness and marriages. In the 15 verses says, catch for us the foxes, the little foxes that run the vineyards or vineyards that are in bloom. We got so many pretty young thing foxes that's walking around us and they don't even know what they're doing, right? Unawarely, they're catching our eyes, and you find us in a situation where we're not communicating, and we got this little nice little thing right, and it catches in a vulnerable state, and it takes us to a place that we should not be, all right? Even before it gets to the physical, it says, whatever a man think, you know, so is he, right? And the New Testament, it says that we sin not just by the thought of it, just by the thought of it. So what I'm encouraging you to do is watch out for those foxes so it doesn't mess up your yard. Watch out for the foxes. Protect your yard. Nobody in my house. Not in my house, like the Tavola said. Not in my house. Protect your yard. Can I pray? I'm going to throw this out there. There's two prayers that I want to do this morning. I feel God is in the place, right? I think God is really trying to work in us to prepare us for the next season in our lives. All right. For my single folks, can I talk to my single folks real fast? So in your singleness, you may not even be desiring to have a marriage in the future, but this message still applies because God wants you to take advantage of this season that you're in to get prepared for your promotion in Christ. For those that are pursuing marriages and you're looking for that loved one. You're looking for that person to be the apple of your eye. You're so tired of dating. You had the perspective that I had. You're tired of dating. You ready for the real thing. Anybody close their eyes for a second? If I'm talking to you in your singleness and you feel as though, hey, it's been way too long. Lord, I've been praying, I've been fasting, I've been asking you to send this person, this man of God, this woman of God my way. I've done everything. I went to seminars, I went to conferences. I've done all these different things and I'm so ready. If that's you, just raise your hand right where you are. I see you. God sees you. I see you. God wants you to know that he is sovereign and he is with you. He told you that he'll never forsake you and he'll never leave you, and that is the promise and that is his truth. Now, Father, we pray for those that with our hand raised. We pray that you just see their hearts and see their minds. And it's not that they're trying to act in flesh. It's not any of that, but they're just so ready, Father. Lord, I pray that you just give them peace that surpasses all understanding and allow them to have contentment where they are and see the season that they're in as a season of preparation, and it's things that you want them to, that you need to mold and make in their lives, but they have to create the space and give you the bricks to do it. So, Lord, creating them a clean heart and renewing them a right spirit, set that fire inside of them that they will pursue you. They will seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and your righteousness, dear God. And as they're dealing with their issues and their emotions and the baggage and the practical stuff, that you will meet them where they are and show them tangibly that you are with them. If I could speak to marriages in the place, that statistic is so true. That sometimes you get at a place where you saying something and the other person saying something and nobody hears anything. And you find yourself going to that place more and more and more and more often. And maybe you're at a place now, it's like, you know what? I'm done. I'm through. I've exerted all the energy that I'm going to invest in this. If that's you, eyes closed. If that's you, can you raise your hand? I see you. God sees you as well. Can we just start praying? Just create some a sound in the place. If you have a heavenly language, can you just, you know, just start? Because I believe that the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And if he can make a mockery of marriage, if he could say, hey, if I could kill this one thing, and you know, I know it'll just be a domino effect. But we're gonna speak to and say what God has put together. Let no man put asunder. Father, we pray right now that you just be in these marriages, Lord. You be, just be with the individuals that's in the house right now. And even if their spouse is not here, we speak life into their spouse, dear God. But first, we know that we got to take a self-evaluation. And Lord, so our hands up and our heart open, we just say, Lord, show us. Show us what we need. Show us what we got to do. We're going to stop pointing the finger and point the finger our way, dear God. We're going to start throwing the blame that way. And we're going to say, hey, what do you need to do in our lives? How is it that you want to expand? Lord, how is it that we're supposed to pursue this intimacy, dear God? Lord, I pray for resources to come their way, dear God. I pray for godly counselors and godly counsel. I pray for openness to attend marital counseling. I pray that your spirit just takes control. You said where their spirit is, there is a liberty. There is peace. There is joy to God. So I speak to the chains that are on those relationships that you are breaking them now in the name of Jesus. The devil has no dominion in that household. It has no dominion in that marriage, in that place. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing in their lives, and they're going to be a living testimony to your goodness and to your grace and to the awesome things that you can do and how you can make a way out of no way and how you can be a provider and how you can be that stability in a time of storm. These are the same people that will speak on how great you are. We love it. We love you, and we give you praise. In Jesus' name that we pray. Somebody say amen. 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 There's a season and there's a time for everything. But in it all, we pursue Christ. We pursue him, and he will order our path. And he will show us what we need to do in order to keep that marriage fresh, in order to pursue the other individual, and in our singleness, pursue the next thing that he has for us. Amen. Let's give God a hand clap of praise in the place.